Welcome, everyone, to the Clone Star versus the Shuttlepod Trivia Extravaganza. I'm Jeff Aiken. I'm the host of the Starfleet Leadership Academy, and I'm going to be bringing the quiz to these two teams. Clone Star Podcast, why don't you go ahead and introduce your team?
Well, we are co-hosts. I am Sean Ferrick. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, the lovely Sho Hurley, who I will be relying on a lot for his trivia in this section.
I don't know that, Sean. And Shuttlepod team, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Mark Cartier. I produce the Shuttlepod show, and with me are two of our wonderful hosts, Connor Trenier, who you know, who will introduce himself in a moment, and Erica LaRose, who can introduce herself in a moment.
Connor.
Erica.
There it is.
There you go. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have three rounds of trivia. First round is going to be general Star Trek. Have a handful of questions. I'm going to ask the Shuttlepod team their questions first. If they don't know the answer, Clone Star has an opportunity to steal. In the second round, each contestant has told me a specialization, and they're going to have a couple minutes to run through five questions based on that specialization. And in the third round, we're going to ask some questions about Star Trek Enterprise. Are we ready to go?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do this.
All right. Shuttlepod, we're starting with you. You will have about 15 seconds to answer each question. If you don't know or the time runs out, we're going to give it to Clone Star to steal. Question number one. There were over 1,000 people on the Next Generation's Enterprise D, and they had a lot of different jobs. One that we got to see a few times was their barber, Mott. What race was Mott?
Is that us or is that them?
That's you.
Bolian.
Bolian. Very well.
I'm calling fix on this already. Absolute fix. That's a total fix of a question.
That's question number one. We got a ways to go. Hey, what specific breakfast food did B'Elanna Torres's grandmother make her when she was a child?
Mark. Is it us?
Yeah, this is all you. All you.
Call us first.
Okay. I think it's banana pancakes.
Bingo. Look at that. This is going to be good.
We talked about that. Yeah.
All the prep. Hey, what was Quark's father's name?
Oh, shit. We just had Armin on literally 2 days ago. I don't remember.
His mother,
he calls his mother Moogie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what his dad's name is.
All right, Clone Star for the steal.
Keldar.
Keldar. There you go.
Oh, I knew it was Keldar.
Seriously. Who doesn't know that? Hey, which Star Trek actor was shot six times at Juno Beach on D-Day?
James Doohan.
Yep. Absolute hero. Shell, get ready to throw the fix in. Hey, why is Vulcan blood green?
Mark. Because it's iron-based.
No, incorrect.
Copper-based. Fuck me.
Copper, there you go. You got it.
Okay.
Well, hang on a sec. No way. He got that right.
Okay. I was trying to describe the difference between the Vulcan blood and the human blood. Ours is iron and theirs is copper. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. What was the name of the Bajoran restaurant on Deep Space Nine?
McDonald's. I'm kidding. Do you know, Mark?
No, I forget.
That's a good one. I don't know.
Clone Star for the steal?
McProfits?
Not the Ferengi restaurant.
Sean, is that a serious answer? Because I honestly have absolutely no idea.
It is, Sean. Yes, that is my dead serious answer to that question. Yeah.
The totally. Jamba Stand?
Ooh, that's good. No, it is the Celestial Cafe.
Oh, blah. Oh.
Okay. All right, three questions left for the Shuttlepod team. The original series episode, The Lights of Zatar, was written by a puppeteer famous for their lamb chop puppet character. What was her name?
Well, didn't Carol Channing play the woman? I don't know who wrote it.
She was in it, yeah, but different Channing, writer.
Yeah.
She wanted to play. The writer wanted to play in it, but she just got to write
it. She was no Carol Channing.
Seriously. There were no puppets.
Wasn't it? It was a DC Fontaine. That's the only name I can remember right now.
It's a good name to remember. Clone Star for the Steel?
Absolutely zero clue on this end.
Sherry
you guys
Lewis.
As good as I thought you were going to be. I just have to say that right now.
Connor, you're kicking us over town, man.
Sherry Lewis with the lamb chop puppet. And,
wait, was it Sherry Lewis, by any chance?
Oh, it was Sherry Lewis. Oh, my gosh. Sean, so well. Wow. No, no points on that one. Hey, what is the Cardassian currency called?
Oh, I feel like we've talked about this.
The dinar?
Canar with Damar?
No, yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, I don't.
I'm here for moral support.
Union.
You're doing a great job, too. Bucks. Love it.
I have no idea. Yeah.
All right. Clone Star for the Steel?
Is it a Lissic?
Oh, close, but no.
It's a Lek, is it?
Lek! There it is!
Oh, damn it.
Well done.
I got one right. Thank God. This is not as embarrassing as I thought.
Last question. Where was the USS Voyager constructed?
Utopia Planitia?
Yes. Bingo.
Wow. All right.
That's good, right? You got a good team, Connor.
I do. Yeah.
You do.
Backing me up.
So we got 5 points for the Shuttle Pod team and 2 points for the Clone Star team on that one. Clone Star, are you ready for your questions?
Sure.
Let's find out.
Who was originally cast as Captain Janeway?
Genevieve Bujold.
Very good. At the end of Star Trek IV, how many Starfleet regulations was Kirk accused of violating? These questions are totally handicapped, by the way. So it's cool.
Is it? Jeez.
3 seconds.
7.
17.
Shuttle Pod for the Steel?
I guess it's 12 or 6.
It's 9. Nine.
Oh. Ah,
all right. Captain Picard famously has a fish that lives in his ready room. What kind of a fish is it?
A lionfish.
Lionfish. Star Trek Nemesis introduced us to the Sung-type android B4. What planet was B4 found on?
I know this, Sean, if you don't. Oh, no, I'm too scared now. I think I might get it wrong. It's Kolaris 3.
Bingo! Wow.
Go on the show.
Wow. Hey, what is Starfleet Order 2005? Connor, that's the moment right there. That's incredible.
I'm pretty sure it's not all chief engineers have to have a buzz cut. Is that right?
Not quite.
Damn it.
Shuttle Pod for the Steel?
You can't go faster than warp unless you ask for permission.
That'd be a good one. No, it's auto-destruct.
Auto-destruct.
Yeah. In the original script treatment for Star Trek, what did Gene Roddenberry name the starship?
Oh, I know this.
I know this. He named it the Yorktown.
Yorktown, there you go. Yeah. What was Beverly Crusher's maiden name?
Howard.
Howard. Jeez, look at this. Here we go. Near the end of the second season of Voyager, Neelix, good old Neelix, started a daily news and update show for the crew. What was that show called?
Good Morning Voyager, wasn't it?
No.
It was something with Neelix.
3 seconds.
Mornings with Neelix.
No. Shuttle Pod for the Steel?
Morning Coffee with Neelix?
Good. No, it's A Briefing with Neelix.
A Briefing.
All right. Final question of round one. In Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, what did Cybok call his followers?
I'm totally drawing a blank on that.
3 seconds.
Cybokians.
I like that. Shuttle Pod for the Steel.
I have no idea.
Come on, Mark. Greatest film of them all. Come on.
Right, seriously. It's the Galactic Army of Light.
That, yeah.
Oh, flippers, yeah.
I was going to make a sex cult joke, but...
Yeah, it would have been totally appropriate. So 5 points.
Things are just kind of going that way, yeah.
5 points for Clone Star on that, plus their two. We're currently at 7 and 5. Round two. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to start a timer for 2 minutes. And in those 2 minutes, this is the order we're going to go in. First, I'm going to hit Sean, then Erica, then Mark, then Sho, and then Connor, you get to go last. I have 5 questions in this 2 minute period that you can ask, and I'm taking a second to get my clock running. All right. If you don't know the answer, pass. I'll ask the next one. And if we have time left over, you can hit it. Sean, are you ready?
I have no idea.
Sean's specialization is the Dominion War from Deep Space Nine. Here we go. Question number one. Time will start after I read it. How long had the Dominion endured prior to the war starting?
1,000 years.
How long did it take the Dominion to capture Beta Zed?
Less than 10 hours.
How many Federation Alliance ships survived the Second Battle of Chintaka?
None.
The Dominion War stretched beyond DS9 and into the films. How many battles did Shinzon lead against the Dominion?
20.
On Friday, Sisko would post casualty reports in the wardroom. They were color-coded, with green meaning missing in action as an example. What color were the names of people that were wounded in action?
Yellow.
All right, the first one you got wrong. We'll give you a chance to go back. How long had the Dominion endured prior to the war?
10,000 years.
Number three was also wrong. We have time, so we get to go back. It was not zero. It was not two. So how many? And it was also wasn't zero. So how many survived the Second Battle of Chintaka?
Oh, well, then it was one Klingon bird of prey.
It was one. There you go. And it was a bird of prey. Very nice. It was not 20 battles with Shinzon. How many do you think it was? We have a few more seconds.
7.
And last chance to go was the you got the wrong color. So
wounded
in action. Oh, there you go. Nice job. All right. With time left over, you got 3 of those correct.
That's not horribly bad.
That's great. 3 out of 5 with time left over.
Also, Sean, I'm not going to lie. You told me that your specialist topic was Deep Space Nine, but I wanted to really kind of annoy you. So I told Jeff to specify the Dominion War.
You know we're on a team, right?
Self-sabotage is the way forward.
Right? And he did great. Hey, Erica, you're up next. And your specialty was Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, nice.
You ready?
I might help her a little bit just because I'm so fucking excited about this one.
You're a team. That's what team members do. That's how it works.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go. Time will start after I read the first question. What was the name of the book that Spock gave Kirk on his birthday?
I mean, are you really allowed to help me?
Yeah, it's whatever. It's, I mean, no, but yeah.
Tale of Two Cities, I mean.
I have no idea.
Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah.
Tale of Two Cities is correct. Who was Peter Preston's uncle? Peter Preston's uncle.
You know, that's from, we talked about this yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did. Who's his uncle? Scott.
Okay. Montgomery Scott.
Yes, correct. Scott. What is regulation? What is regulation 46A?
Oh, we also talked about this yesterday.
What do you talk about? Like, seriously?
It's either when approaching a ship when communications have failed, or it's command flag officer can beam over to unassociated with the security detail.
Erica, you're doing a really good job as Sherry Lewis, as the puppeteer for Mark right now. This is really great.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually just don't even know what you just said, so you're going to have to pick one.
Here we go. You might get this one. During Savick's Kobayashi Maru test, what system was she taking the Enterprise to?
Could you repeat that?
During Savick's Kobayashi Maru test, what system was she taking the Enterprise to?
I don't know.
What was, last question, we can come back on that one. What was the USS Reliance prefix code?
Oh, come on. It's like a 12-digit number.
Shorter than that. You got 10 seconds left.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 2, 1 or something. Boop, 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 boop.
It's close. All right, that's time. Savik was taking the Enterprise to Gamma Hydra, and the USS Reliance was the prefix code is 16309.
Oh.
Love it. 3 points. All right, Mark, your specialization was the Borg. Erica, feel free to help out on this one.
I'm here for him.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm just going to warn you, I've got math in this one.
Oh, good.
How many cubic kilometers is a Borg cube?
5.
Who is species 329?
The Kazon?
Yes. What type of armor did the Borg sphere use? The Defiant also used this type of armor.
Bladed shield?
Correct. Yeah, I don't know how to say the word, but you were right.
Yeah. It's,
What molecule represents the Borg vision Omega. Of perfection? Nice. And for the final question, what was the interlink frequency of Unimatrix Zero based on?
The human heart.
Oh, that'd be nice. You got some time left. You were incorrect on the cubic meters. Want to try that one more time?
Cubic meters?
Cubic kilometers. Sorry, I don't know metric.
I don't know, 10.
And do you want to give the Unimatrix Zero thing another, the interleak frequency?
They're sleeping. Their REMs, they're sleeping brainwave or something.
Okay, not bad. So it is 27 cubic kilometers is the cube. Okay. Each side's 3 kilometers there. And then the interleak frequency is based on a triaxillating modulation.
Yeah, come on, Mark. How did you not know that? It was so obvious.
Star Trek 101, dude. I mean, come on.
I feel like I should just go crawl under my bed and cry.
It's pretty
Look
bad.
At Connor. Show. He knew that one. He's really disappointed at you now.
He was young. He's like,
come on. Sorry,
triaxulated. Come on. Come on. All right, show. Star Trek Generations.
Yes.
Is your level of specialization. Are you prepared? Are you ready?
I can do this, Jeff. I can do it. I can beat Sean at something for once.
All right.
Oh, wait, we're on the same team. I forgot that. Sorry. Hang on. Let me strike that last comment.
Keep forgetting.
Sulu's daughter, Demora, is at the helm of the Enterprise B. Kirk forgets that he's met her before, but Chekhov reminds him that they met how many years ago?
12 years.
Correct. What is the name of the Elorian ship that Guinan and Sorin were on?
The L'Kul.
L'Kul. Very good. Sorin destroyed the Amargosa star. What level shockwave did that produce?
12.
Oh my God. Data decided to install the emotion chip, and like many of us with emotions, immediately went to the bar. He takes a drink and is excited that he hates it. Where was the drink from that he tried?
Frocus 3.
After the Enterprise has been destroyed and the survivors are being picked up, which ship are Picard and Riker beamed onto?
Farragut.
5 for 5, show. Bing, 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 bing. Nice work. And in 40 seconds.
Sorry, I'm actually almost ashamed I did that so fast and got them all right.
That's great.
I was going to just slowly move off the camera there for a couple of minutes.
Don't you worry, Joe. You should be very proud of those 40 seconds. Some of us can only hope for that.
Right.
Good job.
We're all aspiring to something. Connor, are you ready for yours?
Yes. It should be appropriately humiliating. So yeah,
it'll be great. You're going to do awesome. I just picked some general Star Trek stuff. Question number 1, what character died in the last episode of Star Trek Enterprise? There you go. In Star Trek Enterprise, which species designed a super weapon to destroy Earth?
The Zindi.
In the Enterprise episode, A Night in Sickbay, Captain Archer is negotiating with the Cretaceans for plasma injectors. How many plasma injectors did Trip say they needed?
40.
What kind of dog is Captain Archer's pet, Porthos?
It's a beagle.
In the original series episode, The Man Trap, Nancy Crater was replaced by a creature that killed people by extracting all of their what?
We know this, Connor.
Salt?
Salt. All right, the only one you've missed so far. How many plasma injectors did Tripp say he needed?
Four.
Oh, so close. It was
five.
It is five. Four out of five. You did the second best out of everybody, Connor.
Yeah, you were throwing me up some seriously soft pitches.
Taking care of you. I'm just taking care of you. So with this,
you're so good at Star Trek trivia.
Clone Star's up by, I think, two or three on this at this point. So we've got one last round we're going to go through asking questions about Star Trek Enterprise. This is going to be similar to the first round. So I'm going to ask Clone Star their questions first. Shuttlepod, theirs second. Are you ready for round three? Clone Star. Jonathan Archer was an Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts, and so was Malcolm Reed. But Reed earned more merit badges than Archer. How many merit badges did he earn?
How many can you earn? I think Reed is someone who'd get them all. I don't know. Show?
Oh, no, Sean, I'm relying on you for this one 100,000,000%.
Sorry, I forgot you haven't watched Enterprise. 12.
Shot a pod for the steal?
42.
It was 28.
That was what I was going to say before Sean disgracefully insulted me there. Yeah, very bad, very bad.
Archer only earned 26. Pretty pathetic, really.
And they let him captain the ship?
I know. It's pretty sad. It was a different time. What Earth holiday was it when the Enterprise destroyed the Zindi superweapon?
Sean, unless you notice, I'm going to take a guess at St. Patrick's Day because we're Irish and it's wrong anyway, but I'm just going to say it.
I'll go with show on this one.
All right, shuttle pod for the steal.
I don't know, Mark, what? 4th of July, Christmas?
It was probably a Star Trek holiday, like First Contact Day or something.
It was Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
It was. Okay, here's a math one for you. Dr. Phlox had three wives. Each of those wives had three husbands. How many total relationships were there in that arrangement? They also state it in the episode, so it's not, you know, seriously.
I'm sorry, is this us or is this the...
This is Sean. I'm just taking it. Show, you're good. You're good. You just keep sitting there and looking pretty. You're doing great.
12?
Shuttle pod for the steal?
Well, what is 3 times 3? It's 9 times 3 is what?
27.
I don't know how the math works on this, but apparently it's 720 with 42 of them having romantic possibilities. All right. Many Vulcans have arranged marriages. Who was T'Pol arranged to be married to and actually was married to for a short time?
Trip?
No, it was...
Shuttlepod for the steal?
That guy.
It was that guy.
He was an architect, and his family was well connected and helped her.
I went to the wedding, and I consciously did not remember his name.
Right there. Lock him out. Cut him out of all the pictures. Right.
His name was Kor or something.
So Cole? Close. Koss.
Koss.
Yeah. Oh.
That's good, though. That's good. All right. The choice to name the captain of the Enterprise was not an easy one. While Archer was eventually given the honor, who did the Vulcan ambassador Saval want to see in the captain's seat?
John, I'm very disappointed with your lack of knowledge in this area. More so than my own lack of knowledge in this area.
Is it your man who fucking died in the test flight? Robinson.
No. Shuttlepod for the steal?
The actor who was the FBI guy from Dexter. It was him.
So.
His character.
I'm going to give you a little credit on that right there.
That's the best description, Mark, I've ever heard of a character in my entire life.
Was Captain Gardner.
Gardner.
We're going to switch over to the Shuttlepod team and give some questions to you. This could be your chance to steal the whole thing and win the show. Hey, in the episode Cogenitor, what movie did Trip show Charles?
Let's see. Well, we watched High Noon, Frankenstein,
Bride of Frankenstein. I don't
Alien.
Remember.
Alien. Clone Star for the steal? It was the day the Earth stood still.
Oh, I knew that.
Oh, so annoyed.
Here's a fun and controversial maybe one. Hey, where did the theme song Faith of the Heart first appear and who performed it?
Well, didn't Anne Murray write it?
Diane Warren, I think?
Diane Warren wrote it.
It was in a movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
It was in a movie, what, in the 80s? 90s?
I
got faith.
Keep it going. Keep going. Do it. Do it. I'll give you the point if you sing the song. Clone Star for the Steel.
Was it in the movie Patch Adams?
It was in Patch Adams. Yes. Do you remember who performed it?
I know Rod Stewart at some point performed
it. There it is.
Cool.
Patch Adams, Rod Stewart.
Damn it.
Hey, what was Tripp's favorite dessert?
Pecan pie.
Yep. There you go. Two, three. And let's see. The Vulcans and the Andorians have a pretty problematic history. What was the name of the Vulcan that negotiated the first territorial compromise between the two races?
Saval.
Clone Star for the Steel? Valar. Last question.
All those Vulcan names sound the same.
I know, right? All right, last question.
That's racist.
Sorry, Mark, you're canceled. Not only do you lose, you're canceled. We're done. Yeah,
canceled as shit.
All right, here we go. In the first season of the series, Tripp and Reed get stranded while investigating an asteroid field. What was the name of the shuttle pod they were on?
Shuttle Pod 1.
Bingo! Well done. This was a heck of a contest. In the end, the Clone Star podcast wins by 3 points. Congratulations to everybody. This was a heck of a contest. You did a lot better than I thought you were going to do. Well done.
Well done, everyone.
Good Lord. Sean, I thought you'd let us down on several occasions there, so I'm just going to claim a bit of a Pyrrhic victory on this one.
I'm just going to say the real winners are the friends we made along the way.
It's quite the journey. It was a long road, right, for us to get from there to here.
Oh, go
keep it going, Mark. Keep it going.
I can't do that.
In fairness, it was a good introduction there. Jeff just slipped it in there and we weren't expecting it, and it was beautiful.
That's how we roll. Well, thank you all so much. It was great to be here and host the very first Clone Star and Shuttle Pod Quiz Extravaganza. Wow. It was very competitive. Thank this you. Is good stuff.
Thank you very much. Thank you for Thanks, hosting Jeff. The last Clone Star and Shuttle Pod show trivia.
You guys be well. It was good seeing you and meeting you all. Take care.
Likewise. Thank you. Thank you,
Jeff.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. Hello, Shuttlebot Show. Hello, Connor. How are you? Thank you so much for coming on. It's been so much fun having this quiz, in which we all did so well, I think. But what I really want to know is, what is next for you now? What's coming up in the month of, I'm going to sound cheesy as, month of love, February. What is coming up for you?
We are doing a live event of a Shuttlepod show on 10th, 11th, and 12th of February. And we're hosting it here in Los Angeles. We will be doing, among many other things, we are going to do a table read of The Odd Couple, the Neil Simon play, with other Star Trek actors. Who do we have? We've got Walter Koenig. We've got Andrew Robinson's in that one, right?
Yep.
We've got Nana Visitor, John Billingsley's wife, Bonnie Friederici. Mark, who else is in that?
Jeff Combs.
And Vaughn, is Vaughn in it? Vaughn Armstrong.
You two, Andrew Robinson, Jeffrey Combs, Nana Visitor, Walter Koenig, Vaughn Armstrong, and Bonnie Friederici.
Can I ask a very quick question? Surely Jeff Combs is playing more than one character, right?
Of course. He's everybody at the poker table.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. We're doing all of this in a theater that we've rented, and then that's Friday, Saturday. Among other things, we are going to do a table read of Shuttlepod 1, which we do annually, and that's got a lot of those other actors and Ciroc. We'll also be reading in that. Then we're gonna host the Shuttlepod show live on stage for the first time with all of those actors. And what else that day, Mark?
Live music. Vaughn Armstrong and Jeffrey Combs will be playing music. They do a couple sets of the thing. And then Sunday, we're going to be doing a Mystery Science Theater 2000 style viewing party of Broken Bow, the two-part pilot of Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh, brilliant.
Hosted by Connor Trenier. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that episode while the episode plays on a big movie screen.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, and Sunday, we also are going to sit around and watch the Super Bowl hosted by me. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we'll have, you know, things in between that, cosplay, trivia. You know, we've got pretty full days, so we're very excited. I've never done something like this before on somewhat the producing side, so thank God for Mark, because I'm a little terrified. You know, fingers crossed that it's going to go well. You know, it's to support the community of Star Trek fans, specifically in our area. Southern California really doesn't have any representation any longer for Star Trek fans. And ideally what we're doing with our show is an effort to recreate and reinvigorate that sort of that community. And, you know, ideally we get to do this annually, biannually, and turn it into something that people in Southern California and California can come and enjoy what you would normally do at a convention. And we're very excited / scared as hell.
You don't need to be scared, Connor. You're very handsome. I'm the one who should be scared.
I'll tell me this show's probably going to ask him things. How can people pick up tickets? How can people come along? Where to go? Where to find? How to support?
Oh, we have a website, Treks and Trekkers. Just spell it out, treksandtrekkers.com. Also, we have links to the event page, the ticketing page on our socials, on all of our socials. And we can provide that to you if you want to put a link on this. That would be great.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's got the whole link in bio on our Shuttlepod Show Instagram account. Yeah. I believe it also has that on Twitter, and you can go there and pick up your passes and come join the fun.
And our page, shuttlepodshow.com, is going to update today with all that same information as well. So lots of places to find it.
Excellent. That is brilliant. So obviously we'll be there front row. It's a very short trip for us, so that's fine.
Oh yeah.
Actually, we're very surprised. There's a lot of people flying from all over the place. We have a lot, like a disproportionate number of Canadians coming to this.
Hang on a second, Mark. Sure. What do you classify as a proportionate number of Canadians, just so I understand it?
Well, I think Canadians are best talked about and not seen, right? No, I kid. I'm from northern Minnesota, so like half my friends growing up were from Manitoba and Ontario, so it's funny to make fun of them. Canada, America's hat.
And guys, do you hope then, like, what is it the hope in terms of, say, Connor, what you were saying is you hope to kind of make this an annual event. Like, what do you hope to kind of get from this in terms of just, like, spreading the word, having engagement, taking sure that everyone knows that it's on, and predominantly if it's a success, then you'll see it repeated every year?
Well, I think, the main goal here is to learn how to do this right so we can continue to do things like this for the fan base. One of the things about doing this show that's been so exciting has been getting to know these the fans of the show and getting to learn about what they like about the show and to understand the community of Star Trek fandom better. It seems like Star Trek fans want to hang out with other Star Trek fans more than they are, like, you know, desperate to get their ass signed by, you know, somebody famous.
Well, let's not rule that out. Sorry,
just let's not rule that out. The understanding the community has been something that has really opened my eyes a lot, and getting to know them and know who they are as people. And the number of volunteers that we've had sort of self-organized for this event, the number of fans who really want to see this succeed, it's really, it makes your heart grow 10 times size. We just want to learn what it is they want and to give them the experience that they're hoping to have. And you know, build a community around the show.
Well, that will be fantastic. Because I think in terms of certainly in 2023, there's not a lot of, in fact, I don't think there's any official conventions. I know there's another few dotted around. There's DNICon that's happening in Philadelphia in May, and then of course we've Star Trek Las Vegas, which will be in August. So I think anyone listening to this, if you can get along to this event, please do. Because, Mark, I completely agree. We Trek is, we're fun and we're weird. And when we're together, we're even more fun and we're even more weird. So they're great times.
And I find it kind of curious that with so many shows, Star Trek shows on television, that there seem to be less and less conventions. And I don't know why that is, but we're throwing our hat in the ring. And doing our best to bring that experience back.
Yeah, to reinvigorate it. Yeah.
Well,
I think I think that there was a lot of community organization, a lot of fan organization around the earlier conventions, and then the convention started kind of getting taken over by
commercial kind of thing. Is this?
Yeah, organizations, for-profit organizations, and I think that it just became unaffordable for a lot of diehard fans. So we're trying to find a way to make it, give the ownership back to the fans, make it about the fans' experience as much, and at the same time, make it about the experience that our Star Trek celebrities can have. So they don't, you know, I can only imagine what it's like, and Connor can maybe talk about this more, or maybe not talk about it at all. But you know, when you're on a schedule and there's some production assistant dragging you from table to table, that can't be, and you're getting shoved in some hotel by the airport. It's a lot of these Star Trek celebrities put a lot of energy into being available for their fan base, being available for the fans. And they love what the, you know, giving back to the community that supports, you know, their show, their career, their job. So I don't, what we're trying to do is make it easy for them to do that again, for Connor and Dominic and other actors like Nana Visitor and John Billingsley and, you know, Walter Koenig, for those people to have an opportunity to be a part of an event that where they're being taken care of as much as the fans are being taken care of, and make it feel more like a high school reunion or like a graduation party or a family reunion rather than going to a giant echoing convention hall. You know, make it more an intimate experience where people can get to know each other and enjoy the time.
I think that's a
I'm sure you guys have been to conventions, and there's the VIP sort of package that, you know, you get 15 minutes at a table with someone next to the kitchen in the hotel. And, you know, this in a sense is the VIP section of that for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be around and available and, again, the sense of community is really a foundation for what inspires us to do what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the reason why we're limiting the available number of passes is because we want the experience to be genuine and organic. And we don't want to have to, you know, have lines and lines of people queues and queues of people. you know, waiting for their, you know, 3-minute interaction with the, you know, so we're hoping to make it look, we're going to be in the same room with 20 to 100 other people at most, depending on what is going on. So we want to make it intimate and yeah.
That sounds, it sounds fantastic. It sounds exactly like what a fan, I know that's what I would enjoy, because with the greatest one in the world, you're right, when there is 50, 100 people standing in a queue, God love the poor actors, you know, you only have so much energy to give, you only have so much time to give, and then you get, you know, some madman like me, you have been waiting for 3 hours, like, oh my God, be my best friend ever. And they're like, I love you. Could you? No. Just no. Like, just chill,
relax.
I was like, but I just had 9 coffees while I was waiting for you. Like, folks, I'm very conscious of your time, so thank you so much. So we're going to put the links to all of that in the description of this episode, and hopefully everyone who sees it, and you know, we'll go, and hopefully this is the beginning of a good thing, because I completely agree with you, Mark. This is where Star Trek conventions started. In a hotel room, you know, and it was just fans chatting that eventually got us everything from the animated series to Enterprise to Strange New Worlds to hopefully Enterprise season 5. I will keep that dream alive. But I really, really, really hope this goes well. And if it doesn't, it's show's fault.
Yeah.
Why me? I just don't understand why the finger's being pointed at me.
We'll have to blame someone.
Connor, all you need to do is at your event just have a picture of me as a dartboard and just say, if you have any complaints, right, you know, throw it straight at the complaints manager there in the corner.
This guy
this is the guy. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for taking part in the trivia contest. Best luck with the event. We really hope it's a success, and we hope we can get to chat to you again another time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a lovely Friday, everyone. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Another big, massive thank you again to the wonderful Shuttlepod show, and of course to Jeff Aiken, who put together our fun quiz. Now, we'll be back again soon with another episode of the Clone Star Pod. Everyone, look after yourselves. In the meantime, live long and prosper. Thanks.